Welcome to the Kate Languages podcast. I'm your host, Kate Clifton. I'm a former MFL teacher who left the classroom in 2017 to set off on my own adventure. Since then, I've developed my passion for helping teachers through creating time-saving teaching resources, delivering language lessons and CPD to languages teachers, and of course, through this podcast. I've had some wonderful feedback from teachers about how my work is helping them with their everyday teaching, and I love connecting with teachers from all over the world. To get in touch, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. I'm at Kate Languages on both. Or you can email me through my website, katelanguages.co.uk. But for now, grab a cuppa, although maybe not if you're listening in the car. Sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode of the Kate Languages podcast. Hi, how are you? Welcome to another episode of the Kate Languages podcast. This is episode 5 of season 7 of the podcast. And today I'm going to be talking slightly different topic to what I often talk about. I'm going to be talking about running an education business. So the inspiration for this episode came from one of the questions that I had when I asked my email list and my social media followers for the Q&A episode, which was episode 1 of this season. If you haven't listened to that, by the way, have a little listen to that one. That was a really good one as well. Yeah, so I got loads and loads and loads of questions. And there are a couple of really, really good questions. And I've had quite a lot of interactions with people who are thinking about leaving teaching, who are kind of planning their exit strategy, who have already put in their resignation, and they're looking at what they're going to be doing next. And as somebody who did that, can I just say, it's about 7 years ago now, I've actually been running this business now for 7 years. Can you believe that? No, because I'm still terrible. Just kidding. Ha ha. So I've been doing this for 7 years now, and I think I know a little bit about running a business and just what life is like kind of on the other side once you've left the classroom. And I know I did an episode about life after teaching for season 6 with Bex Waker. But the questions that I was asked were really quite specifically about the kinds of things that I'm doing and running your own business. So by all means, do have a listen to that episode with Bex if you haven't done, because it was really good. And she has some really fantastic advice for people who are looking to leave teaching and moving into another kind of, you know, paid employment, full-time job, things like that. She now works for EdXL, for Pearson EdXL. But I just wanted to have a bit more of a focus on the realities, really, of running an education business, what it actually means to work for yourself, to find your kind of niche in the world of education. And yeah, to just kind of like, as I always say, set off on your own adventure, which is how I approach it. I consider this whole running a business, working for myself, my work and everything, I really consider it an adventure. And it really, really is, in the sense that, honestly, like, I have ideas of how I want it to develop, but kind of from 1 month to the next, 1 year to the next, I don't know where it's going to take me. And I love that. And I'm going to say right now, a few of the things I'm going to say are definitely not for everybody. And I think I want to be really, really candid and really open and honest about, yeah, there are some fantastic things. And like I say, it really, really suits me. I really, really love working for myself, but I know that it's not for everybody. So I just want to be really, really honest with you, really, about what it's like running a business, running an education business, and my top tips for, yeah, what it all means. So the question that I was asked, and this was from Helen, actually a couple of questions that she asked me. So I'll just read out what she asked, and then I will endeavour to answer these questions with my top tips. So she said, as someone who has previously left the classroom, what advice do you have for linguists looking to build a career outside of secondary teaching? What do you know now that you wish you had known at your point of exiting the classroom? And then she also asked me, as someone self-employed and a business owner, what are your priorities this year with building your business? Is there anything you're really looking forward to? And what are your biggest challenges day to day? And how do these differ from being in the classroom? And I just thought, when I got those questions, I just thought, you know what, I can't answer those in a couple of minutes on a Q&A episode. And I decided I was going to take these and be perfectly honest with you, I love talking about business as well. So that's another thing. I think you do have to develop an interest in the world of business and marketing and all that kind of stuff if you are going to run your own education business. So if you think, oh, this all sounds really, really boring, then I'm not saying stick in teaching because you might be really, really fed up with teaching. But I would say perhaps if you are thinking of teaching, the best path for you to go down would be to apply for jobs. It doesn't have to be in the world of education. The skills that you have as a teacher are absolutely phenomenal and you can apply those skills in pretty much most industries, anything you want to do. If you're listening to me saying, I love talking about business and I'm really interested in marketing and stuff like that, and you're thinking, oh, that doesn't sound like me, then potentially, yeah, running an education business might not be the right thing for you. But stick with this episode because I might persuade you otherwise. So if you'd spoken to me 7 years ago, I think I'd be telling you very, very different things to what I'm telling you now. So my first tip for running an education business is that you actually really have to think about what you want to do and who you are. So as I said, if the thought of running your own business terrifies you to the point where, you know, you really just think, I just can't do this, then this might not be the right thing for you. But yeah, think about who you want to be working with, how you want to be working. So when you work in a school, you are surrounded by lots and lots of people all the time, for better or worse. I'm actually really introverted and people find that funny because I'm very confident and I love talking, in case you haven't noticed, but I'm very introverted and I actually love working by myself. I love sitting in my lovely little office at home. I love the fact I can just pop off and make a cup of tea when I want to. I really enjoy working on my own, but I do have connections with people. I do talk to people. Now, for me, talking to people on the phone or talking to people on Zoom, you know, having one-to-one meetings, doing one-to-one lessons with people, running workshops, things like that, I love that connection. And that is enough for me in terms of work. I really, really love going into schools, I have to say, and actually seeing people face to face. And, you know, in this post-pandemic world, that's been, for me, the best development of that, that I can actually now go visit people's schools and I can meet them one-to-one. But I'm only doing that, I reckon I probably do one per half term maximum. I was just thinking, I've done 3 this year. So yeah, not even one per half term. And I'm going to do another couple in the summer term as well, coming up in the next few weeks. So yeah, and that's enough for me. But I do have a lot of interaction with other human beings through my son. There are a lot of birthday parties when you have a four-year-old. Anyone who has or has had a four-year-old will probably know what I mean. There are a lot of birthday parties, but it's great because I get to chat to the parents. I get on really, really well with a lot of the parents from my son's preschool, and they're actually all, most of them are staying there for primary school. So, you know, it's great getting to know all the other parents, and I get my social interactions through that and obviously through friends. My mum and stepdad don't live too far away, so I see them quite a lot. Obviously, I have my son and my husband who I have quite a lot of interaction with, luckily, as we all live in the same house. And that's enough for me. And I love it. And actually, one of the things I found hard about teaching was being surrounded by so many people all the time. I found it really quite overwhelming and exhausting. And I think that's one of the things that led me to burnout, because I just couldn't get that break from people. But you need to know yourself really, really well. And you need to know, will you miss being around lots of people every day? Or will you actually thrive working on your own? So that is a really, really important consideration. Another thing about thinking, you know, what do you really want to do? How do you want to develop your work if you're thinking about leaving teaching? How much do you want to work? When do you want to work? So before I had my son, so between setting up my business and, I mean, basically the pandemic, because that's when I had my son, I worked, like, I mean, technically I worked every day. I haven't really worked Fridays very much since I left teaching. It seems to just be one of these things that I've just not really worked Fridays very much. I don't know if that's a deliberate choice. It is now, because my son isn't at preschool on Fridays, and I'm now starting to think he's starting in reception in September. Yeah, I know, that's going very quickly. Believe me, I'm aware of that. But yeah, so I'm thinking about, okay, well, he's going to be at school 5 days a week from September. Am I actually going to work 5 days a week? Probably not. I'm probably going to try and keep my Fridays free so that I can do, you know, life admin and maybe even go for a swim and go to the supermarket and all those kind of exciting things. So you need to be thinking about that. One of the best things for me about running an education-based business is that I can actually work term time only still. And I'm setting up my work and my business in such a way that I don't need to work during the holidays. I will still do bits of work during the holidays. I check my emails pretty much every single day. That's another thing when you run your own business as well. When you go on holiday, it's very difficult to switch off and to not respond to emails and to just, you know, be really clear, like, I am on holiday and I'm not going to respond to emails. And it is a difficult one. But you need to set your boundaries. So you need to decide, you know, when are you working? Are you only going to work during the school day? If you've got children, you know, go and drop them off at school, work during the school day, and then go and pick them up, and you don't work in the evenings. Or are you happy to, for example, like I say, maybe go and have a swim on a Tuesday morning and then work for a couple of hours on a Tuesday evening because you want to kind of make up that time? So I think before you even start, take some time to, you know, write it all down, however you want to do it, have a complete brain dump on a piece of paper, draw a mind map, you know, however you want to do it. Have a really good think about actually what do you want to do and how do you want to do it. I would like to shout out Barbara Allen, who runs Grab and Go Languages. So her website is absolutely brilliant, lots of fantastic French resources. And on her website, she also has an online course, which is for people who are wanting to set up a language teaching business. I've actually bought her online course and I'm still working through it because, you know, these things take a while and I'm sort of dipping in and out of it. And there's really, really, really useful information in there. So I can highly recommend that. So Grab and Go Languages. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Okay, my second tip, and this leads on quite nicely, I think, from my first tip, is finding your niche. So it's very easy to say, oh yeah, I'm going to do tuition, I'm going to teach everything, I'm going to do this, that and the other, I'm going to do loads of resources, I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to say, like, over the years, I feel like I've done this a lot. I love coming up with new ideas. I'm always thinking about new, exciting things to do. I find it quite hard to really narrow down, like, what I should be doing, what people know me for, what people want from me and things like that. And, you know, I'm really trying to do that. So now I would say my niche is teaching resources. That's what people know me for. I mean, my target audience is MFL teachers. And that's always been very, very clear to me from the beginning. Right at the beginning, I was tutoring children. I was tutoring everybody, you know, anybody who wanted to learn a language. And I was doing it in person because in 2017, that felt like the normal thing to do. And I did a couple of things online, but it was mainly in person. But I was tutoring anybody. And then I gradually moved into the niche of working with MFL teachers and teaching languages to MFL teachers. I feel like that is my real niche, of teaching language classes and one-to-one language lessons with MFL teachers. Obviously, yeah, teaching resources is something that I've built up quite a reputation for as well, particularly things to do with the new GCSE and then obviously with my podcast and then delivering CPD and workshops and things like that. But it's still, a lot of it is still very much focused on, you know, the GCSEs, engaging teaching, interesting activities and that kind of thing. Some people will niche down even further and they will have a particular methodology that they're really into and that they will focus on that. They'll have a particular type of resource. So some people are really good at creating knowledge organizers, for example. Some people have worked very closely with certain textbooks, so their resources will be very, very closely aligned to certain textbooks. So that's the kind of thing that you need to think about. What do you enjoy doing? What do people need? Because there's no point spending your whole life making resources or trying to teach people who just aren't interested. So what do people need? What are you good at? And you find that perfect, you know, that sweet spot between the two. A really good way of figuring out what your target audience need. So you need to know who your target audience are. So for me, for example, it's MFL teachers. A really good way of figuring out what MFL teachers need is paying attention to what is going on Facebook groups. So the final episode, so next episode of this season, I spoke to Claire Wilson about running school trips. Okay, because I have seen about 1,000 questions on secondary MFL matters on Facebook over the past year or two about running school trips. It's clearly something that people are starting to do post-pandemic, and a lot of people don't have experience of doing it, and they don't know what they're doing, and they're asking questions and they're asking for advice, and it's something that people really need. So I'm just watching the Facebook groups and thinking, okay, this is obviously something that people need help with. So there you go. So that's one really, really easy way of, you know, join Facebook groups and just pay attention to the kind of questions that are asked in those Facebook groups. And that will help you to narrow it down and to realize what people need and how you can help people. And I think the thing about running an education business, and as a teacher, I think this is innate in us anyway. At the end of the day, it's about helping people. Yes, it's about you running a business, you enjoying your work and making money, but you want to help people. You want to do something useful, because otherwise, kind of, you know, you're basically just making money for the sake of making money, and you might as well just go and, I don't know, go and work for an oil company or something and, you know, make a ton of money. Right. Saying that, my third tip is sort of related to money, but it's everything takes time and patience, and you need to take that time. You will not be able to walk out of a classroom one day and run a successful business the following day. Whatever you do when you leave the classroom, the chances of you getting something that is a step up from teaching, that is a promotion, that's going to earn you more money, that's going to be, you know, more challenging, et cetera, are pretty slim. It's much more likely that you are going to leave a teaching job and that you are, it's going to feel like taking a step backwards. You know, so as I said, I was a full-time teacher. If you don't know my full story, there is an episode right back in season one called Teacher Wellbeing and Burnout. And that's my whole backstory. But basically, I left teaching. I did have 6 months where I was signed off sick and I was recovering from stress and things like that. So I had some time to think about what I wanted to do. Whilst luckily, in inverted commas, I was still being paid for my job because I was signed off sick. And I realised that I wanted to do tuition. But to go from being a full-time teacher on a full-time teacher salary with a TLR for being head of German to being a private tutor and, you know, teaching the odd lesson here and there, not really knowing how many lessons I'd be doing per week, how much I get paid. You only get paid when you actually teach the lessons and so on. Did feel like a step backwards, but it was a step backwards that I really needed to take. Chances are, if you're thinking about leaving teaching, you might be feeling a little bit burnt out. You might be struggling a little bit. You know, maybe you're not. Maybe you realized before you got to that point. And congratulations if you have, because I really wish I had. So actually, one of Helen's questions, what do you know now that you wish you'd known at your point of exiting the classroom? I kind of wish I'd known stuff sort of 6 months prior or a year prior that I know now. But anyway, hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? But yeah, so when you leave teaching and you set up your own business, or even if you go into another paid job, chances are it is going to feel a bit like a step backwards. And you need to be prepared for that. You need to be prepared for a financial hit. Like I say, the chances of actually earning a teaching salary straight away, you might get a job like, you know, potentially working for an exam board or working, I don't know, for a publisher or something. Yes, you might earn the same kind of money as what you'd earn as a teacher, but chances are you're not going to. And if I'm totally candid with you, it has taken me 7 years to build up my income to the point where I'm earning the same as a teacher. So everything takes time and patience, and you just have to keep plugging away at it. When you're running your own online business, you will need to learn a lot of new skills. And again, this is something I love. I'm enjoying this so much. I mean, I love languages. I love teaching languages, but I love the business element of it as well. And I tell you, 7 years ago, I would never have thought that I would listen to so many sort of business and marketing podcasts, or that I'd read business books. I would never have thought, you know, I've got an accountant and I love talking to the accountant about money and figures and all that kind of stuff. So that's definitely something that I probably wouldn't have thought I'd be interested in, but I've had to learn so many new skills. So I have a website and I do my own website. I mean, I'm transitioning everything from my old website to my new website, and I'm building my new website completely by myself. I mean, I probably should pay somebody to do it, but I quite enjoy it. And I'm enjoying learning how to build websites, how to build different things. Social media is something I've really focused on in the past year, and I just love it. And I love the marketing. I really enjoy thinking of how to promote things, thinking of captions for posts, thinking of, you know, interesting things to put in my emails and all that kind of stuff. I love it. I really, really enjoy that. I love making graphics on Canva. You know, I genuinely enjoy doing that. I do now have a virtual assistant who does some of my admin-y, online, you know, digital kind of stuff with me and for me. But I still tend to create stuff on Canva because I just really enjoy it. I still tend to write captions myself, and then she will often just upload stuff for me and schedule things for me. So podcast episodes, for example, she will schedule those for me. But obviously I'm coming up with the ideas and I'm actually recording the podcast myself, but I don't edit and produce it anymore. So yeah, it's about finding that balance of like, what do you enjoy doing and developing the skills to do that yourself? And what can you pay other people to do? But again, as I keep saying, everything takes time and patience. And to get to the point where you can afford to pay somebody to, for example, edit and produce your podcast, if you want to have a podcast, it takes a while. You know, it took me 6 years of working for myself before I thought, do you know what? I've been doing this podcast for a year or two. It's something that I want to develop. It's something that I want to be better. And I want to find somebody to edit and produce it for me. And he's doing a brilliant job. So, you know, and I think it's made a huge difference to my business this year. So, yeah. Other new skills in terms of your actual teaching. And this was another question that I had from Estefania, who asked me about if you're doing tuition, the difference between teaching one-to-one classes or small group classes. You know, you need to think about how to do that. My main tip for teaching one-to-one when you're used to teaching big, you know, secondary school classes, I know this sounds awful, it doesn't have to be quite as entertaining. You can try and do games. So when I worked with smaller children, I used to play Battleships quite a lot with them, and I would cut up card games and play, you know, memory pairs and card games. I bought the shopping trolley game, which is an Orchard Games game. I bought that in French, which I actually play with my son now, which is quite fun. But yeah, I bought that in French and I would play that with little children. So it depends, you know, who you're working with and how you're doing it. So that's if you're in person. If you're doing it online, I personally find, like, yes, I do plan my lessons. Obviously, I know what I'm going to be teaching, but it's a lot more organic. It evolves a lot more organically because it's only you and the person, and you are feeding off each other and you are responding to their questions. And it's a lot easier to move off your kind of plan or whatever for the lesson. So I actually really love teaching one-to-one. I find it really rewarding, but I know some people find it very intense as well. Like a whole hour one-to-one can be quite a lot for some people. So have a think about that as well. And that goes back to my first point about think about what you really want to do and how you want to work. So if you feel that 45 minutes online teaching one-to-one is enough per lesson, then say to people, I teach 45 minute lessons online and that's how we do it. And then you charge them, you know, however much you think is the right amount of money for a 45 minute lesson. Okay. So just to recap the first 3 points. Firstly, think about what you really want to do and think about who you are and how you want to work. Secondly, find your niche. And thirdly, everything takes time and patience. Don't expect things to happen immediately. The fourth tip, and this is definitely a response to what do I know now that I'd wish I'd known at the beginning, and something that I do now that I wish I had been doing for years. Don't be afraid to invest in yourself, okay? Invest in yourself and your development and your business. So I mentioned my accountant. I probably shouldn't admit this, but I literally have only just started working with an accountant 7 years in, which is really bad. And I should have done this right at the beginning. The thing that put me off, and I'm going to be really honest with this, is the accountants, my view of accountants was that they're all old white blokes who just didn't feel like, I don't know, it just didn't, I didn't feel like they represented me. And I've actually found a female accountant. She's my kind of age. She's a mum. And I just feel like, you know, we clicked really, really well and we're working really well together and she's great. And it took me a little while to find that. I found her through an amazing group called the Female Entrepreneur Content Club. And this is run by Alicia, who's just absolutely wonderful. It's focused a lot on social media marketing and Instagram and things like that. But it's an amazing group of women who really support each other. All female entrepreneurs. There are so many ex-teachers and wannabe ex-teachers, as in teachers who are like reducing their hours to part-time, trying to build up businesses on the side so that they can leave teaching and run their own business. There are so many of us in the group who have come from the world of education. And there's like 500 people in the Facebook group. And then I'm actually part of a smaller group, Accountability Anonymous. And this is, if you've ever seen, I talk about on social media sometimes that I get up for a 6 a.m. Zoom call on a Monday morning, which sounds absolutely mad, but I love it. And it just sets me up so well for the week. And the other women in the group are just wonderful. So I don't know if any of them ever listened to this, but hi. Hello, you wonderful women. So yeah, so join networking groups like that. Join local networking groups of self-employed people, entrepreneurs. This is something that I started doing and then pandemic/child, I kind of haven't done it for a while, but it's definitely something I want to do more of. I mentioned Barbara Allen's course that I have bought and invested in and I'm working through. Online courses are great for networking, getting ideas from other people, learning things at your own pace. So some online courses you buy and you work through at your own pace. I'm doing another online course at the moment where we have coaching calls and it's more sort of structured and you kind of work through it all together. There's a Facebook group and things like that. That's very expensive, but so worth it because the woman who runs it is absolutely phenomenal. But again, it's all about business. I'm just so interested in it all and the marketing and the all that kind of stuff. So it's hard to spend money. If you're anything like me, I love earning money. I hate spending money. And for years, as I said, it's taken me a long time to actually earn a teacher's salary. So for years and years and years, I was struggling with like, there's just not that much money coming into the business. You know, you have to put some money aside for taxes. And there just wasn't really any spare money for me to invest in this type of thing. However, in hindsight, I believe that if I had spent more money investing in myself 7 years ago, I would probably be further along in terms of, you know, I probably would have hired a VA a lot earlier. VA is a virtual assistant. I probably would have hired her a few years earlier. I don't know. It's really difficult for me to say because I did have a couple of years of, I've got a baby, it's a pandemic, and I'm just focusing on that. And that is another amazing thing though about running your own business is that you can actually do that, you know, as long as you can afford to live and put a roof over your head and put food on the table. So yeah, don't be afraid to actually spend some money investing in yourself. And now I think of it as, you know, an online business like I run doesn't have a huge amount of outgoings. Whereas if I was running a product-based business, I'd have to be buying stuff in. So my short-lived, slightly ill-fated planner selling business, I actually didn't think twice about spending. I probably spent a couple of £1,000 all told purchasing the planners. And I really saw that as an investment because I was like, I have to buy these planners before I can then sell them to make a profit. I don't think I ever actually really made much of a profit on that because I still got quite a few left in my garage and I ended up throwing quite a lot away. Apart from the teacher's planners, I did sell every single one of those actually. But yeah, I wasn't very good. My maths wasn't great with those. Anyway, we won't worry about that now. But yeah, so if you've got a product-based business, you don't think twice about investing in purchasing the products and then purchasing, you know, all the things that you need to go with it, like boxes to pack them up in and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's just part of the business. And I think when you're running an online business, you need to consider that. And that's something I really wish that I had done a few years ago. So my last tip, tip number five, and this is something that the more I invest in myself and the more the business grows and the more I work with other people and things like that, it's become clearer and clearer to me. Prepare to do some inner work. And what I mean by inner work is you will confront some things about yourself that might make you uncomfortable, that you kind of didn't realize, and you suddenly have these little epiphanies about yourself. So as I was saying, you need to get to know yourself and know how you like working and how you want to work and things like that. This can involve like full-on counseling. So when I stopped teaching, I did have counseling. And I've talked about this before, but I'm not embarrassed to talk about it. It was a really, really useful thing. So, you know, counseling, coaching, it could be just reading self-help books, self-improvement books. I tend to read a non-fiction book in the mornings for about half an hour. So I wake up and make myself a cup of tea and I'll read for half an hour before my son wakes up. And I tend to read a non-fiction book and I'll read things about business and finances and health and all sorts of things like that. So that's my sort of, you know, half hour in the morning of reading. I listen to lots of business podcasts, as I've already mentioned. Some of my favorites, if you might be interested as well, I love the Denise Duffield Thomas. She talks a lot about money mindset, and that's another huge thing that I hadn't even considered. And then when I started thinking about money and how to earn more money and realizing that there's a lot going on in my brain about money that I hadn't realized. Again, you're confronting a lot of things you just weren't aware of yourself. And you don't really need to think about when you're a teacher because you just get paid. Like, you don't really have a choice about how much you get paid. It's just like, this is the pay scale and you just kind of work your way up the pay scale. So actually confronting those ideas about money and how much, you know, how much you value your time and your work and all that kind of stuff, and having the confidence to say, I think my time is worth X amount of money, and asking people to pay you X amount of money for your time is actually really quite confronting and quite difficult. So Denise Duffield Thomas, her podcast is called Chill and Prosper, and there's a couple of books that she's written that I'd highly recommend as well. I really like Jenna Kutcher, the Goal Digger podcast, and not Gold Digger, Goal, G-O-A-L, Goal Digger podcast. I really like Amy Porterfield. She does a great podcast called Online Marketing Made Easy. Denise Duffield Thomas is Australian and Jenna Kutcher and Amy Porterfield are American. There don't seem to be that many British women out there doing these podcasts. There's another amazing American woman called Jasmine Starr, who I absolutely love. She talks very fast, even faster than me. But yeah, she's fantastic, talks about business and marketing and stuff like that as well. And the course that I'm doing, the one that I said is more sort of coaching and things like that, is with a woman called Steph Taylor. She's also Australian and she has a podcast called Imperfect Action. And I absolutely love her podcast. And what I love about it is it's short, and it's like each episode is about 15 to 20 minutes long, which this episode was meant to be. And I'm realizing it's going to be probably twice that length because I just waffle on. So yeah, so those kind of podcasts I really, really love and I can highly recommend. And yeah, if you need a bit of counseling, if you need a bit of coaching, as I said in tip four, don't be afraid to invest in yourself, because running a business, you will come across things and you'll come across blocks and hurdles, and things that are all about you and your mindset. It's hard work and it can be confronting. And there are times when I just think, oh, wow, yeah, this is, you know, this is tough. It's really, really tough. And a lot of the time you're doing it by yourself because you're working by yourself. You're not working with other people who can kind of help you with this. So make friends with a pen and notepad and journal stuff, write stuff down, just waffle on into a microphone for a podcast. A little therapy here now. But yeah, so many things. So yeah, so they're my five biggest tips that I kind of wish I'd known 7 years ago and things that I have learnt over the course of 7 years. And as I say, it's not for everybody. And I would never, ever say to you, you need to leave teaching and you need to run your own business. It's so amazing. It's extremely hard work. It suits me. I absolutely love it. But I know that it isn't for everybody. I would be so interested to hear from people who are thinking about leaving teaching or who have left teaching, setting up their own businesses, how you found it, the types of questions that you have. One of the things I've been thinking, so as I said, I always have millions of ideas all the time. I love kind of branching out to do various different things, which kind of goes against my tip of finding your niche. One of the things I have been thinking about recently is creating a kind of, I don't know, some kind of group coaching, mentoring, some kind of program for teachers who are either thinking of leaving or who have left, and working together with ongoing support in a group and helping you think about all your options and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't want to become a careers coach. That's absolutely not what I want to do. It's just I've been getting more and more messages from people, really lovely messages saying that I'm inspiring people. So I'm really sorry to the world of education that I seem to inspire amazing teachers to want to leave. But at the end of the day, if teaching isn't right for you, you shouldn't stick with a job. I mean, you only live once. You shouldn't be sticking with a job that's making you unhappy. So yeah, if that's something you might be interested in, like I say, it's just something that's sort of growing in the back of my mind and I've been thinking about setting up, like I say, group coaching, group support, ongoing support, some kind of membership or something like that for people who are thinking of leaving and would just like to bounce some ideas around with me who's already left and potentially other people who are thinking of leaving or who have just left. So yeah, let me know if that's something that you might be interested in. Okay, so one episode left of this season. How have we got to nearly the end of the season already? Next week is the brilliant live podcast that I did with Claire Wilson, talking all about running a school trip. So you don't want to miss that one. So yeah, see you next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kate Languages podcast. If you did, please think about leaving me a 5-star review. And you can also tag me on social media to let me know you've been listening and let me know your thoughts on the episode. Also, don't forget to subscribe so the next episode of the Kate Languages podcast can be delivered straight to your device as soon as it's released. But until then, auf Wiedersehen, au revoir, adios, bye.